Our book critic John Leonard has a review of the new novel by Robert Coover called Whatever Happened to Gloomy Gus of the Chicago Bears. As you may surmise from the title, one of the characters in the book plays football, but his fate is ultimately determined by politics.
Whatever Happened to Gloomy Gus is not a doodle. I say this right away because Robert Coover seems lately to have been doodling in such fictions as Spanking the Maid, Gerald's Party, and A Night at the Movies. Clever little books, but certainly not as compelling as earlier Coover novels, like The Origin of the Brunists, in which a nation evangelized itself to death, or The Universal Baseball Association, in which a crazed accountant played dice with the universe, or The Public Burning, in which the electrocution of the Rosenbergs was explained theologically, or even Prick Songs and Descants, which rewrote Little Red Riding Hood and Joseph and Mary. Gloomy Gus is little and clever, too, but it is also very wicked and maybe even delicious. It pretends to be the story of a star halfback for the Chicago Bears whose career comes abruptly to an end in the late 1930s because he can't tell the difference between football and sex. And politics literally kills him. Gloomy Gus is shot to death running a police picket line during the big 1937 strike against Republic Steel. We see Gus through the eyes of Meyer, a left-wing Russian-Jewish intellectual, Chicago-style. Meyer, when he isn't feeling bad about the Spanish Civil War, sculpts. He's working on a scrap metal mask of Maxim Gorky. He is surrounded and nagged by Stalinists, Trotskyists, Zionists, anarchists, an angry black novelist, and a hungry black cat. Meyer is mesmerized by Gus because Gus, an absolute materialist, lives only in the present tense, no yesterdays and no tomorrows. Intellectuals like Meyer think of the past and the future as a kind of river, a time stream, but that's just a poetic metaphor. Gus, says Meyer, had no perception of this or any other metaphor. He was completely metaphor-free. He had no imagination at all. Nor is his real name Gus. His real name, revealed late in the game, is Dick. He comes from Whittier, California, where he was known in college as the Fighting Quaker. Does this ring any of your alarm bells? He could have run for Congress instead of daylight, but because he was badly coordinated and had endlessly to practice everything he did, and because there's only so much practice time in life, he had to choose at Whittier between debate and student politics on the one hand, or football and girls on the other. He chose to score, and so programmed himself, beep, beep, until his circuits went haywire and history pulled his plug. Well now, which American president watched football on television instead of anti-war rallies on the streets outside his White House? Which one, just for practice, listened to himself on tape? What if Bibi Rebozo's best friend had chosen to isolate himself from his feelings in the disciplines of other, less dangerous games instead of Vietnam? Sly Mr. Coover has many witty things to say about art, socialism, and sexual dialectics. But he lets Meyer have the last sad word on Gloomy Gus, who is really Tricky Dick. Quote, both of us were fulfilling myths about ourselves. His the rags-to-riches drama of the industrious American boy, mine the curse of the wandering Jew. And we were both captives of alienating systems divided within ourselves. Maybe, with a little more love and understanding, we'd all have been happy and whole. Then again, maybe he just should have burned the tapes. Anyway, we're all victims, even Dick Nixon, and that hurts.
Our book critic John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine. He reviewed Robert Coover's Whatever Happened to Gloomy Gus of the Chicago Bears.